with 219 cases in Illinois alone. At least 20 people have been hospitalized and no deaths have been reported, according to the CDC. The FDA is investigating the outbreak. For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
A Tex-Mex restaurant in Houston is facing threats of a boycott after it posted online that it was an honor to serve Attorney General Jeff Sessions. El Tiempo Cantina posted a photo on their Facebook page with Sessions and the co-owner of the restaurant Friday night. Sessions was in Houston to discuss plans to reduce violent crime. This is USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Conservative lawmakers are still hoping Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein turns over documents that they requested last month regarding Russian interference into the 2016 presidential election. Former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee says what Rosenstein is doing is not right.
Well, I think openness, transparency is the best friend the president has. Let the chips fall. And the fact that Congress has been stonewalled time and time again, this is frightening to me, because if you have a branch of government that has the constitutional responsibility of oversight and they're being stonewalled by another branch of government, that is the constitutional crisis. I'm not hearing that, but I'm telling you, you cannot have a threefold functioning government of three equal branches if one of the branches is thumbing its nose at the other and saying, I'm not giving you the documents even though I'm constitutionally required to do it. That is really the kind of obstruction of justice that we ought to be looking at. So maybe the president should say, just open up all the documents, let everybody see everything. And I'm not sure that that's a bad idea. And that certainly is an obstruction. That is a construction of justice.
Brooks Koepka won the PGA Championship, which was being held just outside of St. Louis, Missouri, over the weekend. Now, the big news was Tiger Woods finishing two shots behind the leader at minus 14. CBS was also very happy that Woods was in the mix, as the ratings were up 54% compared to last year. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design. This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
Good afternoon and welcome. The weather forecast for this afternoon is showers and possibly a thunderstorm. Some of the storms could produce heavy rainfall, and there's a high near 79, northeast winds around 6 miles an hour. The chance of precipitation is 80%. And tonight, guess what? Showers. Possibly a thunderstorm before midnight, then a chance of showers and thunderstorms after midnight. Some of the storms could produce heavy rain, and mostly cloudy with a low around 66, be calm winds, and a chance of precipitation is 60%. Tuesday, guess what? Mostly showers and thunderstorms, and then more showers likely. Possible thunderstorms again after 4 p.m., and mostly cloudy with a high near 84. You're going to have calm winds becoming west from 5 to 7 miles an hour in the afternoon. Tuesday night, showers likely with a possible thunderstorm before 8 o'clock, 8 p.m., and then a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms between 8 p.m. and 10 p.m. It'll be mostly cloudy with a low around 65, west winds around 6 miles an hour, and precipitation amounts less than a tenth of an inch, except higher amounts possible in the thunderstorms. Wednesday will be mostly sunny with a high near 90. West winds around 6 miles an hour. And Wednesday night, partly cloudy with a low around 68. Thursday, guess what? Chance of showers again. And Thursday night, chance of showers again.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterton at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterton, the voice for mental health in Hunterton County. Good afternoon and welcome to Mental Health Matters. I'm your host, Larry Cartwright, and this is NAMI's hour, compliments at Hunterton County Chamber of Commerce. NAMI is the National Alliance on Mental Illness, and there is a chapter of NAMI in every county in the state of New Jersey, every state in the union, and overseas. In Hunterton County, we're all volunteers. We work out of our houses. We have no paid staff, no office, use our own cell phones, that sort of thing. And what we try to do is we try to help people who have either someone in their family or someone they work with or know, or they themselves who have a mental illness. And we do it in various ways. One of the ways we do it is we have some classes. We have what they call a family-to-family class. It's a 12-week course, and it's for families who have someone, like I said, either in their family or they know someone or work with someone who has a mental illness. And what it tries to do is it tries to teach that person taking the class what to do and what not to do, what to say, what not to say in certain circumstances. And it tries to get the person to feel what it's like to be the individual with the illness. We also have a support group that we run once a month on the third Thursday of every month. It's held at 52 East Main Street in Flemington, and it's from 7 to 8:30, and sometimes runs a little longer depending. But you don't have to be a member of NAMI to come to either the classes or to the support group. You do have to register for the classes, not the support group, but the classes, because we're only allowed to have so many people in the class, so you have to register. There is one starting on September 15th, which is a Saturday. It's going to run for Saturday mornings from 9 to 11:30 at the Hunterton Medical Center, but you do have to register. And if you need more information or have questions or whatever, we have a phone line. It's 908-284-0500. That's 908-284-0500. We don't have someone man it 24/7, but we do have someone who checks it at least twice a day, and we will have someone get back to you just as soon as possible. If you want to register for the class, you can do it on the phone, and someone will get back to you to take your information. It's 908-284-0500. Okay, Mental Health Matters. That's our show today, at every day, every Monday at from 2 to 3. Today we're very privileged to have with us Alexandra Tsang. She is a mental health advocate. She is also in charge of the marketing and business development in a local law firm in Central Jersey. And it's great to have you, Alex.
Oh, thanks, Larry. I'm really happy to be here. Really honored, actually. I've seen your guest list, and I've also listened to quite a few of your shows, and it's definitely an honor to be with those other guests in that group, so definitely happy to be here.
I'm glad. Great to have you. I'm glad you could take the time off from work to come.
Yes.
You might. Let's start with maybe your story.
Sure.
Okay. I know that in childhood, you had first developed this, correct?
Yeah, my anxiety and depression started as young as 4 years old.
Wow, that is young.
Yeah, I started seeing a therapist at about 4 and 5, started working through some of my anxiety, depression, just abnormal childhood behavior with a childhood therapist playing with dolls.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really how my parents found out that I had this mental health issue and when we started working on it. As I got a little bit older and into middle school, my obsessive compulsive disorder got a little more severe. and I had to seek additional therapy to start handling some of those issues.
We just gave a, in fact, this morning from 10 to 12, we just gave a presentation, and at the which we have been doing for almost 10 years now at the Educational Services Commission, and we go over the various illnesses.
Sure.
And OCD is one that we touch on, and it's there's various kinds of OCD.
Sure.
I know the lady that I do the class with. She, her daughter is very compulsive about making sure the door is locked three times and turning off the stove and, you know, and cutting the windows, make sure it's locked. And, you know, that's, is that the type that you have or?
Yes, definitely part of it. So I, as a young kid, I used to count basketball hoops. Sounds kind of comical when we chat about it. Anywhere I'd go with my parents when we were driving or walking, I'd see where there were basketball hoops. Just an obsession, a compulsiveness thing that I couldn't stop. I started touching doorknobs and then having to count my fingers. And a lot of my counting had to go in like threes.
Right.
So I'd do, okay, well, if I did it three times, then I have to do that three times. And you can kind of see how, as a sixth grader, that can kind of stand out as abnormal behavior, and I might not have a lot of friends. I was in the nurse's office a lot because I didn't know how to cope with those obsessive tendencies. That did get a little better with therapy, though. I did like behavioral therapy where I had to touch a doorknob and not count my fingers and then see how it went. And it was tough. You know, as an 11-year-old, I'm like, can't I just focus on, you know, going to the school dance?
Right, right.
But I had to, you know, work on my OCD. I was obsessively neat as well as a kid. So, you know, if I was... if I had notes and was, you know, for my science class and two pages of handwritten notes, if I made one spelling error, I had to go back and rewrite the two pages. So not only did I have the typical 2 hours of homework, I really had 5 to 6 when I made a mistake. So that was interrupting my daily life, which my parents realized and were like, okay, we need to get her some more help for that. That was the OCD. Not as much, not so much fun.
No, I can't believe it is. You have depression?
Yep, that was definitely something that I struggled with, especially into middle school. And as a young woman, starting going to puberty, made my moods a lot more up and down. In eighth grade, I started taking some medication to manage the depression. And, you know, was still seeing a therapist. Sometimes would just wake up sad and not want to go to school. And not your typical, you know, eighth grader, oh, mom, dad, I don't want to go to school. They couldn't get me out of bed. You know, I'd have to go to the therapist more often if that was happening. So, yeah, that was definitely something that I struggled with in those, like, young adult adolescent years.
Right. And, you know, when people say depression, you know, everybody, I don't care who you are, gets depressed at one point, okay? It could be because you lost your job. It could be because you cracked your car up, whatever the reason, break up with your girlfriend or break up with your boyfriend or whatever, or your marriage goes south, you know? So there's reasons for depression. But those are, I don't want to say normal depressions, but they're what most people go through at one point in their life.
Right.
When you have a depression that lasts for weeks and weeks and months, that's, you know, an illness. Now, I know we have four kids. They weren't always as old as they are now, obviously. and when they were younger, I lost my job. And the first week, I was so depressed, all I would do was go out and split wood. And finally, one day, I said, hey, stupid, you got a house, mortgage, car payments, four kids to put food on the table. You better get your butt back to work somewhere, you know.
It's great that you're able to do that and talk to yourself in that way.
Right, but that depression was like a week, you know, and then I got back to work and I got another job and I went to work and everything was, So, yeah, we all get depressed, but the extent of the depression is what determines whether it's an illness or just a life depressing moment.
Everybody has those triggers, like you're talking about, that are, you know, typical adult behavior reactions or child's reactions. But I definitely think mine was more severe on that spectrum.
Right.
And that's why, you know, my parents, we decided to get some help for it. One of the other things I was really struggling with that age was anxiety, which kind of perpetuated in a cyclical sense of my OCD and my depression. I was a avid athlete growing up. I played usually three sports in every different season. And, you know, I had to stop even playing soccer because my anxiety was so strong I couldn't get on the field. Mm. So that was quite depressing. As, you know, a 13-year-old, I just want to play my favorite game.
Sure.
But I wasn't able to get on the field.
Right. Right. We have to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple minutes, so stay tuned.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, RabCoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para-planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. This is Tony Clark, para-planner at Patton Heidi & Associates.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and we're privileged today to have with us Alexandria Zhang, and I call her Alex. But,
that works.
But I figured I'd give her the real name first, and, you know. She is a mental health advocate. She is on the County Mental Health Board, president of the County Mental Health Board. Because we forced her to take the job. Nobody else wanted it, so we just nominated her and elected her. But she's also a marketing and business development person at a local law firm in Central Jersey.
Correct.
And she's also the secretary of the NAMI Hunterdon Board.
Yep.
So, you know, she's... does her thing. You know?
Very passionate about being a mental health advocate. And along with those two organizations, I work with Alternatives, Inc., too, based in Rare in New Jersey. I serve on, I'm a trustee for their board and then also serve on a couple of their committees, which is fun, too. So Resource Development Gala Committee and their 5K Committee, which is coming up in September, September 9th, I believe, as well. So I have a lot of fun doing my mental health activities outside of my professional job
Well, we'll talk about one of the ones that you do with one of my best friends.
Okay. Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know who I mean, Walter.
Yes, yeah. I know who you mean.
Okay. All right. We left off, you were pretty much around eighth grade, mm-hmm. and when we were talking about your background and stuff. You want to pick it up from there?
Sure. So, you know, as I got older and started going through puberty and into adolescence, really in eighth and ninth grade, you know, my mood started getting worse. I started having higher highs and lower lows. At some of those lows, you know, I started self-injuring. Mm-hmm. And as a, you know, 14-year-old and you're a freshman in high school, that was just, that's a lot to deal with no matter who you are. So, you know, having a mental health issue, I was definitely struggling at that time.
Right.
You know, I felt inadequate. There was a lot of stigma in my neighborhood and my community around mental health. And when I was
still is a lot of stigma around.
That's true. That's what we both fight for, I think, on a daily basis. And I think, you know, when I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder at 14, that's when my world kind of turned upside down for a little bit. That's a pretty severe mental illness. And sometimes when you hear that term in the news and the media, it's often portrayed in not a so friendly light. So that's what I work to do, is kind of change that. But when I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder, I was about 14. I started taking medication to try to manage the moods, mm-hmm. The ups and the downs, the highs and the lows. However, while all that was going on, I was quite successful, ironically, in high school and academics. Like I said, I was on, you know, different varsity sports. And so no one really knew. No one really knew what was going on except myself and my parents.
Right.
And that was more like where the stigma came in. You know, we didn't really share a lot what was going on behind closed doors. And I think that's often what, sometimes what's going on in our communities, and we just don't know about it. So my first hospitalization, I was 17, and, you know, I was having some suicidal thoughts. I did attempt, and I ended up in a, you know, adolescent unit. And, you know, they adjusted my medication, tried to manage that a little bit better for about 6 days. And then I got out and, you know, started playing varsity softball again and took, you know, was going to take my AP exam. So you can see how it was kind of like this contradiction of what people saw on the outside versus what was really going on in my life and internally. And it was an interesting time, high school for sure.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
I think it is for everybody.
I agree.
Yeah. Yeah. But then it kind of, you know, things got a little bit better. I was getting recruited from a lot of different soccer programs for college. I ended up graduating, you know, fourth in my high school class with, you know, seemed like a good group of girlfriends. I went on to a small liberal arts school in Pennsylvania, played soccer there. And the first two, you know, first 2 years started going really well. I was doing well academically. I was stable on my medication. And I decided to study abroad the summer between my sophomore and junior year in Mexico.
Okay.
I learned a little Spanish. And when I came back, I had a bit of an episode. I became very manic. I didn't really sleep for my entire junior year. At least it didn't seem that way. My medication was very out of whack. That's a clinical term, by the way. Mm-hmm. And, I started I started drinking a lot, and wasn't doing well. But yet, academically, I was very successful.
Right,
still played soccer. Again, all kind of in the background. You couldn't really tell what was going on. But when I did go back for my senior year in preseason, that's really where I had a major episode on campus and was asked to leave during soccer preseason. So that was kind of a dark day for me. I was asked to leave campus, couldn't come back for a while, and I ended up being hospitalized twice that fall to try to get my medications, tried different ones, different cocktails, and to try to manage those manic episodes. That's really where I was at the time, just flying high, as I like to call it, with my mania.
Yeah.
So I did get out of the hospital that winter with some, you know, good set of medication. I ended up going back for my bachelor's degree in communications the following year, so I did graduate, although not with, you know, my group of girlfriends and my soccer teammates, which was sad. It was very difficult. And the relationship with my parents at the time, who were two of my, you know, biggest supporters, was rocky at best with everything that was going on. But I did go back and finish, and, you know, like you were saying, I have a great career in marketing and business development, and I'm married now with a loving husband, and who's actually, he's a farmer in our community, so we're very ingrained here in Flemington, and I have loving family and friends who are my support system, which I'll get into a little bit later. And I've learned to manage my illness. You know, I still have bipolar disorder. I still live with it, but I live well with my illness. And now I try to give back and try to tell my story in ways that can help younger people.
Right. Well, yeah. You know, it's one thing for somebody my age to talk to young people. Mm-hmm. But it's somebody like yourself who's more their age.
Right.
You know, who can talk to them because you've been there, mm-hmm. you know. I can talk to parents.
Sure, of course.
And, you know, like that because I've been there, mm-hmm. you know. And that's what's so, I feel, is so valuable for NAMI mm-hmm. because it's people who have been there and walked that walk and talked mm-hmm. that talk. That it's not just somebody that read a book and is trying to help people.
Right.
Not that that's wrong, mm-hmm. but it's so much easier if you've lived it.
You need someone with the experience.
Right, that's been there.
Yep.
You know.
Yeah. No, I agree.
It's like it's a lot of times it's support groups. People come who are in crisis.
Yep.
And some of the other people, my wife and I included, have either done that, mm-hmm. you know, or been there, mm-hmm. or, you know, and this is what, you know, we give like ideas what worked for us or may not work for us and,
sure.
you know, that sort of thing. And it's because you've been there, you
you've
know.
You've lived it. Yep.
You've lived it, right, yeah. exactly. And yes. that's what's great, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Not that it, let me rephrase that. It's not that it's great.
No, I know what you meant.
But you know what I'm saying. It's like it's great because people like you
right.
who can come out and talk about it, you know, and not a lot of people do, you know.
Yeah, I think that's unfortunate. I mean, I just to touch upon what you were saying before, I did a presentation at a high school down in South Jersey back in May
mm-hmm.
For Mental Health Awareness Month. And I did three different class periods. This was a rather large school, so it was about 80 kids per health class period.
Right, right.
And every time I did the presentation, I had at least five kids come up to me after individually and ask me more personal questions and ask for advice. Things, you know, ranging from financial situations and getting help to thank you, I'm going to college next year, and your story made me believe that I could do it. I mean, to me, that just touched my heart
right,
in an
sure.
incredible way. And I was so happy that I could still relate to these kids. I mean, I call them kids now.
Yeah, well.
But no, it's true. I think having someone that you can look up to in that way, I definitely wish I would have seen a presentation like that from some young woman who came in and told
sure.
her story.
Sure.
I mean, that would have changed my life. Like, whoa, I can do this and I can get through the dark times.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And, you know, but the point is that now there's organizations like NAMI
true.
Out there that help people get through those times, you
right.
know.
Yeah.
And, you know, and let's face it, the biggest, I won't say the biggest, but one of the biggest wall block for mental health is the stigma attached
yes.
to it,
yeah.
you know, and every time you hear of mental illness in the radio or television or mm-hmm. on the newspapers, what is it? Well, somebody went off the end and mm-hmm. shot somebody or
right.
whatever. And, you know, Virginia Tech, mm-hmm. you know, the school up in Connecticut, you know, that mm-hmm. sort of thing. But, you know, unfortunately, that is a very minute handful of people
true.
Who have mental illness.
Right, right.
If you stop and think, they say 1 in 5, and they're talking about 1 in 4 now.
Yep.
So if let's just say 1 in 4.
Mm-hmm.
That's 25% of the population.
Sure.
That's not the population in New Jersey or the United States. That's the population of the world.
Right.
That's a hell of a lot of people, excuse me.
That's true.
You know, but, and you figure the percentage of people that you hear about who commit these atrocious crimes is so minute
small.
Compared to the amount of people that may be affected by mental illness.
Mm-hmm. No, that's incredibly
you know,
true.
And
yeah.
it's a shame that there's more people in jail with mental illness than in hospitals.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are in jail for trespassing or shoplifting or, you know, and that's why we're so fortunate with our district attorney who is trying to put a stop to that and helping people rather than jailing them.
Right.
So I just threw that
out.
No,
I mean, I think,
you know,
we've talked about that at a lot of our NAMI meetings, too, about all of the classes, the mental health first aid, the CIT training, you know, getting more collaboration in our community between mental health professionals and police officers and emergency responding people, you know, just so we're all on the same page with how to handle a mental health situation.
Right.
Now, I think we're fortunate to be in a community that's embracing it. And definitely working on eliminating the stigma and breaking that cycle. I'm fortunate.
Yeah.
You know, we can come and we can talk about this.
Sure.
Right?
Sure. And for those of you that don't know, CIT is Crisis Intervention Training. It's a 40-hour
That'd
course.
That'd be a long one.
Yeah. 40-hour course, 5 days. And it's mainly for law enforcement.
Right.
But every class, they like to have either someone who has someone in their family who has a mental health issue or someone themselves who have a mental health issue. When I took it, going back a couple of years now, it was mostly large police departments, Patterson, Newark, Trenton.
Yep.
There were, because in Hunterdon County, outside of a few towns, police department, we spoke about this, the police department
small.
Is small. And if you have a chief and two officers and you're going to take one of them for a week to do the class, that means the other two are going to have to work, you know, at least 12-hour shifts every day, you know. So it's a little, you know.
Yeah.
And a lot of times some of the townships we have in Hunterdon County, they're part-time police officers, you know.
Right.
They're not full-time. And that thing. But I will say this. When I took the crisis intervention training course, I want to say five, maybe six officers come up to me after and thank me for speaking what I thought. Because I told them I didn't want them hurt.
Right.
And I don't want my son hurt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the more they learn, the more the chances of hurting my son are less.
That's very true, yeah.
And so it was like, you know, and they, but they, it was very nice that they come up and thank me for coming, you know.
I get that response at a lot of the presentations I do. Do you want to talk a little bit about NAMI in our own voice?
Right.
So those are the presentations I do quite a bit. They're through NAMI New Jersey and in our own voice. It's a certification that I received a couple days of training on how to present really my story.
Right.
So it's usually done in pairs, people living with mental health issues, talking a little bit about their story, you know, their dark days through their, you know, their treatment plans, their coping skills, and what they want to do in the future. And I've really enjoyed doing these presentations because you're right. People come up to you after, no matter what the setting. Like I said, I've done them in, you know, high schools. I just did one in a church. I'm doing one in a local library in September. They always come up and say, wow, thank you for sharing.
Right.
And how do I do this? And I know someone that's going through this. And it seems like everybody knows someone now. You talk about the one in four. Everybody knows someone who's living with a mental health issue.
Exactly.
And I think that's where those presentations are really pretty powerful. And I want to talk a little bit about the coping skills section that I do in these In Our Own Voice presentations. So I'm currently medication-free. I'm not on any psych meds. I've been without medication for really since 2013. It wasn't working for me anymore. I wanted to find if there was a different way to do it. That does not mean I won't need it in the future by any means.
Right.
But just right now, this is everything.
Right now
going
it's working.
Okay. It's,
so,
it's working for me right now.
Right.
But how I kind of get around that is by these five coping skills, and I often share them during my In Our Own Voice presentations. And they seem very simple, but I think people like pay more attention to them when I share them with a, you know, in conjunction with a mental health issue. First one's exercising. You know, I saw you.
I saw you at the gym.
Yesterday.
Yeah, yesterday.
So it's very important for me, especially if I'm manic or very depressed, to just get out and do something. So it's walking around the neighborhood. It's going to the gym. It's running. It's doing yoga. Whatever it is, just getting off the couch, preferably outside. You know, we know how sunlight affects us, even cloudy days like today. But just get out, walk in the rain. And I try to do that. So that's my first one. My second one's sleeping. Sleeping is very important to me. Not oversleeping, because then I, you know, move into like that depressive state.
Right.
But just like a healthy balance, you know, 7 to 9 hours. Not on the couch, not on like my favorite chair, but like in bed. Not on the floor. It's very important to me to keep that structure and that cycle going. The third one is nutrition. Again, these seem very simple, right? We hear them all the time, but combined, they really seem to work for me. Nutrition, that means eating like a lot of protein and colorful foods like fruits and vegetables.
Right.
And that was something my mom and dad instilled in me at a very young age, is eating those healthier foods. And they just keep my mind sharp. They keep me less foggy. You know, when I have like pizza and ice cream for a couple days and just... I just get like low and then high, and my mood gets all messed up. The fourth one is mindfulness. Mine is my faith. Some people have spirituality, pets. My passion is volunteering, obviously, in mental health work. So finding that why of why you're here and just being present, meditation, yoga, those are other good ones that I kind of throw into that category. And then the fifth one is my support system. So, you know, my parents live in Florida, so I keep them in the loop. We have so much technology nowadays. You can FaceTime and they can see what's
Skype
going on.
And all
yeah,
that
everything.
Stuff.
See what's going on in my life. My husband, obviously, is a huge supporter of mine. My in-laws who live right down the road, and all of my friends who really are scattered across the country now because we're adults and have real jobs, unfortunately. I guess it's a good thing, but yeah, so those are, and I keep them in the loop. If I'm not feeling well, usually they know me pretty well and can tell. But if they can't tell, I need to be able to tell them.
Right.
So those are like the five habits I live by. I call them like they're like my millennial guide to mental health, med-free. If one of those is a little off, then I can tell how my mood is and tell how my illness is.
Whatever works for the individual, like, you know, in the presentation we did this morning, you know, we talk about drugs and medication and stuff, and some people have to take it.
It's an important part. Yeah.
My God, I can't tell you how many medications I'm on for various things. But, you know, but the thing is that if other things work for you and are keeping you
stable, centered, stable is the word I was looking for.
Do it. You know, there is a young woman who lives out in California who somehow or other we got connected on the phone one time on the radio.
Okay.
And I think the second time we spoke, she said, I don't take medication. I says, okay, what do you do? She says, well, I run a lot.
There you go.
I said, okay. And she says, I can't think of it now, but it was something else that, you know, she does.
Sure.
And I says, does it work? She says, yeah. I says, well, keep doing it.
Perfect.
You know, don't stop. She says, I thought you would tell me to take medication. I said, whoa. First of all, I'm not a doctor.
Yeah.
Second of all, if it works for you, why change?
Right.
You know, you do what works. You know, if you go to the gym or a walk or a run or whatever the case may be, and that works, continue it.
Yep.
I'm not saying, like you said, down the road you may have to take a medication.
Very true.
But right now you don't, so...
Yeah, and I think everybody's different, too.
Yeah,
I mean, we can't all live by the same set of coping
absolutely.
Skills.
Absolutely, because
my bipolar disorder is different than someone else's and how they react to certain triggers.
Right.
Yeah. So we're all a little bit different.
Sure. And, you know, my son, we had joined the gym, I don't know, many moons ago, put it that way. And all of a sudden he stopped going.
Yep.
And finally, when I found that, he stopped going because we didn't always go together. He would go by himself because he only lived like across the street from the gym.
There. Right.
And I said, why did you stop? Oh, I don't know. You know, I don't know anybody there and blah, blah, blah. I said, why don't you come with me?
There you go.
Now, we've been going, I'm going to say, almost a year together.
That's great.
Pardon me. Sundays and Tuesdays, right?
Yep.
And I make sure he goes Sundays and Tuesdays, you know. And it's like, it's become so, you know, like, well, I only got one more machine. No, you don't, Mark. You got three more. You're going to do those three in the back over there. Don't give me that nonsense, you know. And he pushes me. Like, I'll say, all right, this is my last one. What do you mean it's your last one? Yep. You didn't do this or this. Okay, I'll do those two, you know. So we bust each other, but we kid around with it, you know.
Well, you're each other's support system, it sounds like. Exactly. And that's what we need.
Exactly.
Someone
you know.
To push us.
Right, you know. And so, but whatever works, you know.
I'm reading this book. It's not a mental health book necessarily, but it's called The Slight Edge. I forget the author's name, but I'm in the middle of it right now, and it talks about like these little habits, the daily stuff that adds up over time, that makes this, you know, makes you, you can see your success eventually, right?
Right.
And I always talk about in a lot of my mental health presentations, there's no magic pill. As much as I just want to take one pill and everything go away and I have no anxiety or OCD or depression or mania, that would be awesome, right? But there is no magic pill. So it's these little things that I do every day.
Right.
And that's what this book's talking about, The Slight Edge. I definitely recommend it to anyone. It helps in all terms of health, finances, your career, relationships, marriage. And I'm loving it. And I can relate it to my mental health.
Sure.
Because if I don't sleep or if I sleep too much, is those little tiny things, those little habits, they add up big time.
They do, you know.
Yeah.
And that's why it's so great that, you know, when you get a routine that works, you stick to it, you know?
Yep. The structure is what's important to
me.
But sometimes that can be too much because then I'm not able to adapt or relax. I have to kind of keep going and going. And that's, you got to know those boundaries. And that's what I do for myself is set like, okay, that's one extreme. That's another extreme. Any of those sides, that's unhealthy for me, those extremes. I got to find that middle ground.
And you got to find out things that you like doing.
Right.
You know, not necessarily what it does to keep you, you know, focused, but what you like doing. If you like reading, read.
Read more.
I love reading. I just, you know, I read books like, you know, There's No Tomorrow, you know. And, but, you know. But that's just recreational for me because I enjoy reading.
Yeah.
But if you enjoy something, do it. You know, like I know people who like to just sit on their back deck and look at the trees or the flowers or the birds.
That's being present.
Hey,
being mindful.
That's mindfulness, if you know, a loose terminology of it. But that's what it is.
Yep.
You know, and, you know, hey, do what you enjoy doing. If running around the block is what you like doing, then do it.
Yep.
If you like walking the dog and that's, you know, do it, you know.
That's very true.
It's whatever, in you know, you can do to help you get through it. We have to take a quick break.
All right.
You've been listening and you will continue to listen to Mental Health Matters, and we'll be back in just a couple minutes.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you...
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and we have with us a very special guest today. She's smiling and blushing. Alexandra Zhang. And I call her Alex, but, you know, I have to give the full name first.
Right.
You know? And she is a big mental health advocate. I think I mentioned before that she's a secretary for NAMI Hunterdon. She's also the president of the Mental Health Board, the County Mental Health Board, which we forced her into doing.
It was nice.
Yeah. Nobody else raised their hand when they said, anybody want this job? Yeah, Alex does, you know. But she's also the marketing and business development person at a local law firm in Central Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And we would like to talk about what your hopes and dreams are.
Wow, that's a loaded question.
Yeah, well, I figured, you know, why not, you know?
Well, at the ripe age of, 28, I guess I'll be 29 soon. You know, I'd like to continue my mental health advocacy work in the capacity that I can. So continue to serve on the boards and my work with NAMI Hunterdon and the County Mental Health Board and Alternatives, Inc., and I've started, you know, trying to do more of the NAMI In Our Own Voice presentations at different groups. Like I said, I did the my first church presentation back in June as well, and that was great and very well received. I've been writing a lot of my thoughts down, so I'll do these presentations, and I've been kind of writing them down. Maybe there's a book in my future. I don't know.
There you go.
Like I shared those coping skills, I'd like to, you know, people can tailor those to how they see and how it helps them. And that's why I'd like to be able to share those in a wider forum. Last year, I also started getting more involved in our community in terms of, you know, policy and legislation. I volunteered on my first campaign in the community last summer into the November election. And I really liked doing that. I liked working with the leaders. I liked seeing the change that I could make, even on a small scale, by knocking on doors and spreading the word. So I think that's something I'd like to get more involved in mental health policy and legislation in the state of New Jersey and also nationwide. And that's why, you know, NAMI has some great grassroots advocacy. And
mm-hmm.
I'd like to, you know, continue to be involved with NAMI as well. And that's where kind of my political career began in that sense. And I'd like to, you know, start combining those passions and get a platform and get a forum where we can encourage people to speak out in this community about mental health. And that it matters, right? No pun intended, right, with the radio show name. And encourage people to speak out and tell their stories, because I'm not the only one that's living with bipolar disorder and also has a full-time job, is married, and is able to give back to her community.
Sure.
I'm not the only one. There are more of us out there, and I just encourage people to tell their story and encourage others to do the same. So
I got to tell you, you know that the state organization of NAMI, NAMI New Jersey, mm-hmm, goes down to the Trenton,
yep,
you know, thing. They asked me not to come. They said, they told me that.
Are you too loud? Are you too
ambitious? I would just probably too vicious when
you
it comes to politicians.
Now, right?
You know? And they told me if I went down there, I'd probably set mental health back 100 years. You know, so.
I don't know. You're a great, yeah, advocate, Larry. I don't know about that. But
well, you know,
there's definitely a way we have to do it, right?
And yeah,
we have to kind,
right,
of adhere to some rules and
unfortunately,
process.
You have to, you know, be, you know, me, I start yelling at them, you know, like you're sitting up there making all this money,
well,
and you don't listen,
change,
you know.
And you and your son, you know, you've, yeah, been through it with the help. And even when, you know, I was a young adult and my parents were helping me get help. I mean, navigating the system,
right,
in New Jersey and elsewhere, I'm sure, is challenging. No matter if you have insurance, if you don't have insurance, it's a challenging piece that, on top of dealing with a mental health issue and trying to, you know, get your child back in school or get your job back in order and your family back in order,
right,
you have to deal with, like, insurance paperwork and where does my doctor, oh, they're out of network, okay, I have to, I'm dealing with that right now, actually.
Yeah.
And you have to send in the forms, and it gets a little complicated.
Sure, sure.
So I'd like to help people make that an easier process for them.
Yeah.
I hope we get there.
It'd have to, you know, anything we could do to improve the process.
Right.
And New Jersey happens to have one of the better systems than,
wow,
some of the other states around. Then you sit,
sure,
there and shake your head, you know? And if some of the other ones are worse, you know.
Yeah. No, it's unfortunate that it.
It is, you know, it's
complicated.
It is complicated, you know, but you know, it's I think it's hard to get people like yourself,
mm-hmm,
to encourage them to speak out,
right?
Because a lot of times it's like, oh, I don't want to say that. I don't want to,
sure,
talk. I don't want to, you know, I don't want people to know this or that or the other. And, you know, I can understand that.
Yeah, yeah.
But we're not going to break through the stigma, and people aren't going to be reached,
right,
if people don't reach out to them.
Well, it's scary, though. I mean,
yeah, absolutely.
You know, I've been open about my mental health issue, you know, since I met you,
right,
what, 4 or 5 years ago,
right,
now, and been active in the community with mental health advocacy. But, you know, I'll be honest, May was the first time I really talked about it on social media from a first-person perspective, you know, as a in the workplace and with friends and family. You know, it's still kind of a tiptoed around topic. It's definitely less stigmatized than 10 years ago, but I think we've made a lot of improvements being able to talk about it more. But, yeah, it's still, we still have a long way to go.
Right.
People opening up.
Definitely. When you do, I know the answer to this, but maybe, you know, the public may not.
Okay.
When you do an In Our Own Voice presentation,
mm-hmm,
it's free of charge, correct?
Correct, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, usually there's a flyer that's sent out. People can just come out to wherever the location is. You know, sometimes I'm at a specific location,
right,
like a school or,
right,
you know, a church, like I said. But, yeah.
And I know that you do the family-to-family classes.
Yes, I've done a few presentations,
yes,
for,
right,
the Flemington family-to-family in,
right,
Hunter County. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
I know. I was in a couple,
oh, yeah,
of,
yeah,
I taught
a
couple of
leader,
the classes.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, that's always a very interesting experience. And funny you should mention that. I did one of the family-to-family class a couple of years ago, and I was still kind of refining my presentation, if you will. And one of the people that was in that family-to-family class, I was at another one of my presentations that I did at the medical center back in this May. And this person came up to me and was like, wow, you know, you seem much more comfortable in your own skin and telling your story. And I was like, wow, thank you for sharing that, you know, and,
right,
kind of continue to refine it to your audience. And it made me feel good.
Right.
It was good.
And a lot of times you'll do it with my buddy, Walter.
Yes. Walt is a good friend of mine, and I think we give a good perspective. You know, he's very successful in his own right, and, you know, a little bit older than me, right?
I would say more than a little older than you, but sorry, Walter, but it's the truth. Yeah.
But, yeah, so I think he gives, like, this, wow, I've you know, didn't realize I had my illness till a later age, as opposed to me where I, you know, found out at 40
right,
years old.
Right.
Definitely a different perspective. And I think people, especially parents, can see that perspective because
right,
of
right.
both sides.
Yeah. And, you know, it's so refreshing to see, like, the first time I saw an In Our Own Voice presentation mm-hmm. was quite a while ago. but, to hear people talk about it. And, you know, just for people that don't know, what they do is they show a section of a movie
mm-hmm. yep.
Where people in the movie are talking about, you know, what happened to them and
right.
yada, yada.
Yeah, it's like the different phases.
And then, they'll stop the movie, and then the person, like Alex,
right.
will start talking about their part of
right.
what the movie said.
The dark
said.
Days
right.
or the
right,
treatment
the dark
plan.
Days,
yep.
right. And so on and so forth through
right.
the thing. So it's really interesting, you know.
Yeah.
And if you haven't heard or witnessed one of these In Our Own Voice presentations, you really should try because it's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
You know, we're just about out of time.
All
Do you
right.
have anything you'd like to mention that we didn't talk about?
Well, I just want to say thank you for having me again. I mean, I hope we reached some people today that, and we can encourage them to tell their stories. And I want to continue to get out there and share my story and give people hope. It's a message of hope.
Right.
It's a message of perseverance.
Definitely.
That we can do this, living with a mental health issue. One thing I always share is I never say anymore, I am bipolar or even I say I've got away from I have bipolar disorder. I say I live well with bipolar disorder, and we can kind of live well with any mental health issue
mm-hmm.
or live well with any
right,
illness.
Right.
And I think that's important because kind of sometimes terminology, is very,
right,
very important in
right.
how we talk about it.
Yes.
It's my two
well,
cents.
I thank you so much. And
thank you.
Trust me, I will have you back again.
Uh-oh. All right. I'll be ready.
You know.
Figure out something else to talk about.
No, you don't have to have, you can do the same thing we did now.
Perfect.
You know.
Thank you, Larry.
But I really appreciate you coming, Alex. I really do. And, I know you got to get back to work and everything. So.
that is true, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah, unfortunately, but so what? You know.
Yeah.
But I do appreciate you coming. You know, I really
Thank
do.
You.
And I think it's really quite outstanding that you, at your relatively young age, can talk about your life and
that.
So on and so
yeah.
forth, because it takes courage.
Thank you.
You know, and not everybody can do that, you know, so.
It's what we're here for.
I do think, you know, I do find it very impressive, you know.
Oh, thank you.
And
now you're
you.
Making me blush.
Now, thank you so much for coming. I do appreciate it. We'll be back again, same time, same station next week. But remember, folks, mental health really does matter. See you next week.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Huntington Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody you...
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
USA Radio News.
Today on Twitter, President Trump slammed former White House aide Omarosa Manigault Newman as vicious but not smart after she released newly recorded secret audio of a private conversation she had with the president. Congressman Peter King said all these attacks by Omarosa